So as Julie comes to read God's word to us on the screen, if we can put that on there, we are going through a series on active faith and looking at this letter that James, the brother of Jesus, wrote to 12 scattered small communities who were facing challenge, persecution. They were facing hardship outside the church towards them, but also internally, they weren't actually getting on with one another. Not like SBC. Everyone gets on with everyone. Or not. I don't know. I can't read the room. Do we all get on with each other? Well, okay. It's fine. 11 of you do. Then we had our first topic, which was active faith. That was an introduction and a wonderful baptism service. And Debbie and Sophia, you're here, your baptism a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about what it means for us to learn about who James is. And then last week, Alison spoke so brilliantly about active perseverance. And today, we move on to thinking about active listening. And so Judy's going to read these verses from James chapter 1, verse 19 to 27. Thank
you. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen.
Thank you, Judy, for reading God's word to us this morning, and Margaret for leading us in prayers of intercession. I wanted to make mention, I hadn't done earlier, that we have a prayer diary that Anne and Margaret put together, and these are on the entrances, the doors, both ways of the church. So do pick up a prayer diary, and please join others in praying for our church and wider world. Did anyone know that there is a listening team in Kairos? Put your hand up high if you knew there was a listening team in Kairos. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. And put your hand up if you didn't know there is a listening team in Kairos. Okay, so quite a few didn't. But we have a team of people in the church that give their time and their attention to people in our cafe, which is through those doors there, right down the end of the corridor to the left. It's a wonderful cafe called Kairos. And Kairos is a Greek word by which we understand a God-appointed time, a moment where God is, well, breaking through. And for me, I like God to break through when I'm served a large Americano. That brings me closer to God. For others, it is that attention by the team who serve so wonderfully by simply listening to others. What a great ministry in the life of the church. Did you know also, not only have we got a listening team that goes into Kairos and listens to people, but the Family Support Centre, of which I think it's 25 years of the Family Support Centre existing, which has offices here and rooms for counselling to listen to people in their situations that they go through. In this church, the art, the practice of listening is happening all around us. And we've got some experts. So what I want to say here from the very off is that I am not an expert at listening. And a lot of you know that. But we do have people that dedicate their lives to the very art of listening. But James, the brother of Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes, the scattered communities that are facing both persecution outside the church, but also persecution inside the church, another way of saying they are being pressured by those who are against them outside the church, but they're being pressured by their relationships inside the church. They're not getting on very well under the pressure of persecution. They're struggling relationally to be the people God's called them to be. And James is really clear that he writes to these 12 scattered churches and says, sort your lives out. So he really encourages those Christians to show that they're a Christian. You may have heard this before, but Mahatma Gandhi in India said he would have become a Christian if he'd seen one. And he'd met loads of Christians. He knew Jesus, but he struggled to connect Jesus and the reflection of other Christians. Well, James is really keen to write and say, we've got to show our Christianity on the inside out and the outside in. And we can do that in so many ways, acts of service. Doing good for God, and James talks a lot about that. But his first real piece of advice in how to show you're a Christian is through this strange art that we often relegate called listening. Well, I listened this week to our Hong Kong friends who said, can we have the scriptures in Cantonese? That was said at the Church Together for Christian Unity on Wednesday. We were over at the Lion Pub and we were enjoying a drink and they said, can't we just have it in Cantonese? So here it is. And we will all say it together to our Hong Kong friends. It's there. Brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I'm not going to go through this whole passage. I'm going to focus mainly on this. Don't know who the person that you listened to musically this past week, whether you have got AirPods and you listen to music regularly, or whether you're really trendy, and I'm talking retro trendy, and have got your 45 disc. Anyone like records? Only a few of you like records. I love records. I love going to HMV. I went near HMV with my daughter the other day and she went, oh, you're weird, Dad. I love HMV. But do you know how much records cost today? Crazy amount. Anyway, that's another aside. I was listening to Peter Gabriel's new album. I really like Peter Gabriel. Some of you will never have heard of Peter Gabriel, and others of you think, yeah, I'm with you, Matt. Which will be a shock. But in his latest album, he's got a brilliant song, which is the most Christian song I think I've listened to. Sorry, worship band. It's the most Christian song I've listened to in recent days. It's called Live and Let Live. And he says these words in his lyrics to his song. It takes courage to learn to forgive, to be brave enough to listen. I never thought about listening being brave. I never thought about listening being something that takes courage. But those who are the listening team in Kairos and the Family Support Centre, you are courageous people. Have you ever considered those who listen well to be brave? The reason Peter Gabriel says that when you listen intently and with authenticity, when you listen in such a way, you are brave and you are courageous because things change. It's not passive listening, it's active listening. Things change. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Hear, O Israel. This is the Jewish Shema. This is the royal law. This is the foundation upon which everything exists in our relationship to the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then Jesus adds on in Luke 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Hear, SBC, the Lord your God is one. And then Jesus says in Luke 8, consider carefully how you listen. And it's the very word of Jesus, consider carefully how you listen. And you kind of think that should come out of the Proverbs. It's wisdom stuff we're talking about here. Amazing. And then Revelation 2. I really want to do a series here at SBC on Revelation. Because it's so good. To the churches, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear, SBC, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God. Well, how are we hearing that? How are we being courageous and brave in hearing that truth? Consider carefully how you listen, Jesus says. How carefully are we listening to the voice of the Lord in our church? And whoever has ears, and I think most of us have ears. When I got my new specs on about 2 weeks ago, I've heard one or two people in the church say, well, this is a downward step now. He's got glasses. The next one will be a hearing aid. Maybe. Apparently, when you get to 50, which I am, you can get them for free from Specsavers. Anyway, oh man. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. What is the Spirit saying to us as a church right here, right now, in your life? James talks about moral filth, which makes me laugh because it's a really graphic phrase. And we could go, you know, oh yeah, the society today, the moral filth out in the world today. But James is talking about the people of God. And in the original, moral filth, Sarah, means earwax. And what James is saying is, get that. Now you've got that image in your head. Get that earwax out, because when it's stuck in, you can't hear. How are we hearing as a church? There's so many benefits to hearing, and as I say, I'm not an expert in this. Go to the Family Support Centre and Malcolm and others who will be able to teach much better than me on this. But hearing reduces misunderstanding. It builds empathy. You can see it in someone's eyes when they empathise with what you're going through. It creates closer community. I long for us as a church to get closer in our community. I mean, we're close, but I'm talking about really close. To learn to listen, to learn to forgive, to learn to be courageous and brave. So, I'm going to whiz through this, but there are a few things I want to share. Good listening requires patience. Slow down. This is a really active church. Why on earth would we have a series on James, which is all about activity? I mean, we're good at it. Some Christians burn out through an over-activism. James is saying to a Christian community that is struggling with persecution from outside and struggling with relationships inside to be the people that Jesus wants them to be, and he says, slow down. I know that many of you in this church have read the ruthless elimination of hurry. But you're still going at 10 to dozen. What does it mean to slow down and to listen well? Because that's what James is saying. When we slow down and we are patient, then we avoid the half-attentive ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. When we speed up, we assume. Or when we don't communicate and don't listen, we assume. So much assumption gets in the way of relationships. But when, according to James, we are encouraged to slow down, something changes. We become less, and this is where the rubber hits the road, angry. If you've got an issue with anger this morning, this is the Lord's word for you. If you get uptight, a bit shirty, this is for you. Because when you start to listen and slow down, somehow the heartbeat of God's love becomes ever more near. We're called to be peacemakers. We're not called to fight. But when we listen, we begin to understand and take stock and become attentive, not in a half measure, but in a full measure. Good listening is also not only about being patient and slowing down, it is also an act of love. That may be a really obvious thing for me to say. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was assassinated by the German authorities, by the Nazis in the Second World War, and yesterday was the day that marked Holocaust Day, and lots of different places were lit up in purple as a reminder, and 6 million candles were lit. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a theologian that some of you know, some of you have heard for the first time today, well, his theology caused him to act. And he tried to put a stop to Hitler. It caused him to be sent to prison, and then at the last days of the war, he was killed. But he writes from prison, and he writes letters, and these letters are so heartfelt. He is a missionary in the midst of being a prisoner. And he talks about what it means to listen well, and he says, poor listening diminishes another person, while good listening invites them to exist and matter. Wow, his life is going to be considered cheap by the Nazis. Doesn't matter if Bonhoeffer exists, he doesn't matter. But he writes out of a deep relationship with Jesus and a love for the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He writes about listening when he's on death's door. I mean, I could think about many other things to write about. Listening? Why is that so important? Well, he was showing courage and being brave in his last days, his last breath. He was saying, we need to listen well to one another. Why? Because it invites the other person to exist and that they matter. This is love acted out. Not brushing by, but taking time to be attentive. Good listening asks perceptive questions. This is the Proverbs 8, verse 2. I like this. It is the fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Do we like to give our own opinion rather than hear the opinion of the other? This takes courage to give more airtime to someone else than ourselves. This takes courage for someone else's opinion to dominate. When we listen well, we ask good questions. And good questions are brilliant ways to communicate one to another. It could be about hot topics. It could be about a theological issue. It could be about the very practice of church life. But when we get into a place of asking good questions, it means that we're not assuming answers. And that is humility. Consider others better than yourselves. Philippians 2:4. My very first sermon series here at SBC was out of Philippians, and focusing on that verse, do consider others better than yourselves. This is it in Proverbs. This is it in James. Good listening is ministry. What goes on in Kairos is ministry. What goes on in the Family Support Center is ministry. But I long for those ministries to really impact the wider church. Actually, the church meeting is a place of listening and discernment and discovery and questions and not assumptions. Good listening is ministry. The best ministry you might do today is to listen to someone else's pain all the way to the bottom. This is so important. We offer prayer at the end of a service for good reason, so that you would be able to share at the very bottom what you're going through, in order that someone else may not judge you, may not look at you and look through you. You know when you get that glare when someone looks through you? Have you ever experienced that? It makes you feel that big. Or when someone looks over your shoulder when you're talking to them. Or when someone finishes the sentence for you. There are so many ways that we're inattentive. But good listening is ministry. And when someone's going through pain and hurt and devastation and wants to be authentic and real, they need a loving embrace from us all here at SBC. The prayer places are places for those who hit rock bottom. And what you'll find is people here ready and willing to listen in love. Good listening prepares us to speak with wisdom. We should listen with the ears of God that we may speak the word of God. I have fear and trembling every time I speak on this platform because I feel the weight of responsibility. Not everyone will agree with me. It's really difficult having 250 bosses. Not everyone will agree. But what I do through the week in preparing these talks is not only to write, but to listen, to pray, to seek God's kingdom first. My prayer, I'm sure, that the worship group don't just do practice, 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 but are praying, seeking God, listening, because that is as, if not more, important. That everything we do is couched in listening to the heartbeat of God, that we may then speak on God's behalf the heartbeat of God. And lastly, good listening reflects our relationship with God. It's a means of grace. Let me tell you that God is attentive to you right now. He's listening to what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He is listening to what is going on in your mind. I am an overthinker. Anyone else an overthinker? It destroys you. Because you're constantly tired if you're an overthinker. Constantly thinking, constantly, the cogs keep turning. I mean, Hannah might not think the cogs keep turning in my brain, but they do. I constantly overthink. It's not healthy, but it's just part of who I am. Not going to change, really. But when I learn and lean into a God who listens to me, I begin to understand that it's not me who needs to be brave, but God who is brave. He takes me on. Oh dear. Poor God. He takes each of us on. He listens to us. He loves us. He's attentive to us. And our inspiration for being good listeners comes from the very character of God. And when we've experienced such grace, that means of grace, of God's listening ear in our lives, then maybe, just maybe, we could be a means of grace to others. So good listening requires patience and expresses love, and it asks questions and displays ministry and prepares us to speak well and reflects our relationship with God. And I just want to end with this. What I'm really talking about is our Baptist DNA. What it means to be Baptist is to listen to God and to listen to one another. But let's just forget Baptist for a moment. Let's think about the Jewish people. In ancient Jewish practice, for two sides in a dispute to agree, they are working to what's called a reconciling third option. This is in Greek culture, in Jewish culture. In ancient Jewish practice, for two sides in a dispute to agree, they are called to work towards a reconciling third opinion. This new position is currently unfamiliar to both of them. And here's the key: a place where neither will be completely comfortable with. But this is far more wholesome process than being forced to make a binary choice in which, in order for one side to win, the other has to lose. Friends, I really think in church today, in our culture today, where there are so many disputes about this, that, and the other, we can be drawn into and tempted by, and James talks about this, the binary aspects of argument where one side loses and another side wins. I'm not going to tell you what kind of topics, you know. But maybe there's a third way where we listen and we learn and we begin to ask questions and we explore together and we are uncomfortable. I'm going to end. What I'm inviting you into is a space to know the listening heart of God, to be brave and courageous in responding to God if he's spoken to you this morning, and to seek prayer. I think the chairs are stacked, but are there going to be people praying for? I don't know. Are there? There are, yeah? So there'll be people praying. You can just sit on here, don't worry. I'll make it clean here, Helen. Or you can pray over there with the baptistry, or pray at the back, or just pray with the person next to you. Listen to your stories. Listen to what's going on and pray. Seek God while he may be found. Experience the beauty of the Lord in this place. It's good to listen. It's good to learn to forgive. It takes courage and bravery to listen well. Lord, have your way.